This is Alan Karpik with Tom Dienhart, and we are ready for our Saturday chat. Now, it's going to take some explaining today because of the ground rules for this one, but I'm looking forward to this. It's kind of a respite of time to kind of live in the past, but have some fun with it. We are going to pick our all unsung Purdue basketball team pre-1995. And how we define the unsung team is you can't have made first or second or third all Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And that list is kind of interesting. And there are a lot of players that are in there. And we'll get to that in a moment. We want to thank our sponsors, certainly, that have been with us on our podcast, our Zoomcast, et cetera. And that, of course, is Follett's Purdue Bookstore, Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill, still doing carryout here in Lafayette. Sixth Street Dive is doing dine-in, been good to us over the years. First Source Bank, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, excuse me, and, of course, Home Field Apparel, too. And Connor Hitchcock and the folks that have done a great job of really putting together we're putting together some ideas for some special golden black apparel that we're working on. So that'll be fun as well. So thank you to our sponsors. And we'll, at the back end, we'll also talk about all of our other golden black sponsors that are doing carry out. But Tom, we're going to do this as a draft today. And this may be mayhem. I don't know. But we'll pick our top. We're going to pick 10 players. Do we agree on 10 players each, or are we trying to just pick a team of 10?
I think we're going to do 10 each, but we can just each build a team and have 10 total.
Let's do that, and then we'll go. We're an equal opportunity offender here. We're going to try to make sure that we mention there's so many guys here. It's interesting. Yeah. But, Tom, since I'm a nice guy, I'm going to let you go first and take your first guy. We're going to try and pick 3 front court players, 2 backcourt players, and that I know is a little bit subject to debate, but we'll have some fun with this. Tom, your first pick.
No, you're a great guy, Alan. The one thing I wish I had right now in front of me was some shrimp and grits from the East End Grill. Then I'd be set.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Scott and those guys are doing a great job. They got the construction project going across the street. Mm-hmm. I think they're gonna weather this pandemic, it's a big project over there. Yeah, I'm with you on that, but fire away, my friend.
I'm going, you know me, Alan. I always like to harken back to my days walking the old red brick Purdue campus, and a guy that was always near and dear to me was Doug Lee. Looking back at the Purdue media guide, I can't believe, Alan, he was not ever first, second, or third team all Big Ten. I wonder, too, maybe you can illuminate me on this. He's from Washington, Illinois, was a buddy of Doug Altenberger's, who played at Illinois. Washington's not, is near Peoria. Why did he go to Texas A&M coming out of high school? I don't know. He's a perfect Purdue guy. At least Purdue got 2 years out of him. Of course, he got to Purdue in the fall of 85, played his final 2 years there. His last year, as you know, helped Purdue win a co-Big Ten championship. Just a terrific player. Like I said, the epitome of a Purdue player, heady, smart, try hard. Terrific shooter, averaged 9.3 points his first year, 10.4 his second year. A guy who did a little bit of everything. You drop Doug Lee in there with Todd Mitchell, Troy Lewis, Everett Stevenson, and Melvin McCants, among others. And that was a very talented 1986-87 Purdue Boilermaker team. But give me Doug Lee for my first pick on my all underrated Purdue men's basketball team pre-1995.
Yeah, Doug Lee, I don't really know why he picked A&M. I don't think he just wasn't recruited. And he, of course, is a cousin of Todd Foster, who Gene Cady later recruited, I think because he had Doug Lee. And, of course, Todd Foster really shone in his junior and senior years at Purdue. But Doug Lee was a guy that I love. I remember the year, the 85-86 season, I believe it was, where they wore those Nike shoes, the golden black shoes the entire year. And Doug Lee was tough-minded. Probably one of my best memories of Doug was I think he had almost 29 points in the first round of the NCAA tournament in 87 against Northeastern and Reggie Lewis, the late Reggie Lewis, in that game, in a game that Melvin McCants got in a fight. That's all I remember, sitting on press row and watching these bodies come. I can't think of the guy that Melvin hit. or hit Melvin. I don't, you know, Melvin, you know Melvin a little bit. Not, he's not a guy that's tough-minded guy, but not a fighter. And the guy that was in the fight with Melvin, I think actually died a very, just a few years later, very strange situation. I'll think of his name. But I'm going to go to pick my first pick. And I think Doug Lea is a great pick. I'm going to go bat in the backcourt and a guy that's in the Purdue's Hall of Fame and played professional basketball. He's a basketball icon in the state of Indiana. That's Billy Keller. And Billy never made – no, I think they only had two teams of all Big Ten at the time. Billy obviously was an MVP at Purdue with Herman Gilliam as a sophomore. One of the great point guards in Purdue history, knew how to get the ball to Rick Mount and to Herman Gilliam and run the show on Purdue's Final Four team in 1969. But Billy, an Indiana Mr. Basketball in 1965, a great player, great guy. And, I was going to follow back up on Doug Lea, though. You got to do one of your catching ups with Doug. We'll get him. He's a guy that I think he's still out in Las Vegas living. But Billy living in Florida, kind of commuting between Indiana and Florida. But I think he lives in Florida most of the time now. But Billy, a great point guard, great scorer. One of his best games, 31 points in his senior day against Indiana. Still the Mackey Arena scoring record, 120 points against Indiana. And Billy Keller goes for 31, Rick Mount for 40. And that was against his old high school coach, Jerry Oliver, the assistant coach at Indiana at the time. So Billy is just a terrific player and could fit in today's game. All right, you're up, my friend.
I still got his basketball cards, Alan, with that old red, white, and blue ball, Billy Keller, Indiana Pacers. Yeah, I've got memories of watching him as a kid playing as a professional. Good choice there, buddy. Doug Lea was a 6'5 forward, Alan. I'm going to go with a 6'6 forward with pick number two in my book. Hails from East Chicago, Indiana. Drake Morris. Played at Purdue from 78 to 81. Was on, of course, the 79-80 Final Four team. You're very familiar with Drake. You were a manager when he played.
Yeah.
Allen averaged 9.9 points in 4 years, averaged 11 his junior year and 15 as a senior. And that was a talented team. And Drake's a guy I think, you know, people tend to forget. But he was a terrific player. Like I said, that squad that had, of course, Brian Walker and Joe Barry Carroll and Jerry Seastein and those guys was a key guy for Purdue and was on Gene Cady's very first team, of course, 1980-81. And I believe, Alan, maybe you can help me out with this. I think in high school, he came through Mackey Arena as well with his Gary Roosevelt team. Is that right?
No, with East Chicago Washington.
Chicago Washington. But, yeah, just a terrific player and a guy that I remember watching and liking a lot when I was in high school.
Well, that's true. I remember my memories of that because I was at I used to go to those semi-state games, and they were great events in Mackey Arena because you would have, 12, 13,000 people, sometimes full as well. But East Chicago, Washington, recruiting was different in those days. Denny Crum, the Louisville coach, was sitting. It's one of these things your memory doesn't always remember. He was sitting on the East Chicago bench when Drake Morris was announced to come out to for the lineups, and he shook his hand or whatever, kind of hugged him. I just remember that vividly and said, well, wait, Purdue's not going to get him. Purdue ended up getting Drake Morris, and Drake Morris was, I would say he was would have been a high four-star in today's world. He was a very highly regarded prospect, had some discipline problems occasionally at Purdue, but an unbelievable talent in his senior year, averaging 15.2 points a game. Purdue had two pretty good bookend scorers with Drake and Keith Edmondson in Edmondson's junior year that year. They did go to the finals of the NIT, losing, I believe it was to Syracuse, who beat them, but then they beat West Virginia in the semifinals. They lost to Tulsa, I believe that was, in that. And again, the Boilermakers under Drake Morris, an excellent pick there because he was very, very talented. And a guy that I would have projected when he came in that would have been an NBA guy because he's kind of an NBA type guy. He was a 6'5", 6'6", guy that could handle the basketball. He could have played guard in the league, maybe the game a little bit different then, but very, very talented. All right, I'm going to go with another guy from that same era, one of my favorite players, and a guy that I would go to battle with, and that is Arnett Hallman. I got to mark these down as we go here because I'll forget. Arnett Hallman, a junior college transfer that came to Purdue out of Joliet Junior College, Chicago Shores High School. Probably the toughest, probably one of the best physical specimens at that position, 6'7", 6'8", very, very strong. He had that great left-handed dunk that fans love, kind of the days of the alley-oop with Brian Walker throwing the ball to him and Joe Barry Carroll. He was on the team that won a share of the Big Ten Championship in 79, went to the Final Four in 1980, and had a chance, just not a good enough shooter probably to play in the NBA, but you've talked about one of the greatest shots in the history of Mackey Arena was his 20-some footer against Michigan State, number one Spartans, and Irvin Magic Johnson to win that game. But Hallman was an enforcer, and if I was going to build a team, I love the way he defended, the way he could move, and his ability to rebound. Really, truly, one of the best that Purdue's had at that position. But no room. There was so much talent in the Big Ten at that time. Tough to make those first two teams. I don't think there was even a third team at that point. So my pick, Arnett Hallman, lives in Germany now. Talked to him on occasion. Really super player.
Yeah, I always remember him being just a terrific, fun dunker. And as a high school kid, I was like, got a lot of guys enamored with high-flying dunking guys.
Oh, yeah.
And Arnett had springs in his legs. And, just a terrific, fun guy to watch play. He was on some nice teams, as you said, Alan. I'm going to go with I'm going to go into the backcourt here. I'm going to go with another guy that you know, Steve Reed.
Oh, good one.
Steve, of course, began his career at Kansas State, had to transfer, and then he transferred to Purdue, sat out the 81-82 season, came to Purdue, was there from 82 up till, 85, and a terrific shooter in Dodge City, Kansas. And, again, Reed was a guy, I remember my freshman year, 83-84, he was on that team with Jim Rowinski and company and Kirk Clawson. And Herb Robinson that surprised everybody and won a share of the Big Ten championship that year with Illinois. But Reed was a guy that was a lights out shooter and just a real sort of quarterback of that team and during his whole tenure at Purdue. So Reed's a guy. I remember you told me once, Alan, you had a good story. I think there's a famous picture of Steve Reed's dad, I think.
Yeah. I'll share that story.
And but Reed's a guy who at one point was also working on the Purdue broadcast. Radio broadcast, if I'm not mistaken. So a guy I always really enjoyed seeing, watching play a lot, Alan.
Yeah, Steve Reed, great pick. And really one of the great games from an unsung guy, and this is the year before you were in college, 82-83, his first year of eligibility, goes down to Louisville. Louisville ranks top 10 in the country, I think seventh at the time, a team that lost to Phi Slamma Jamma in the one of the most famous Final Fours of all time, Louisville, that is. Steve Reed goes down, scores 24, 27 points, in the 20s. They couldn't stop him. He was maneuvering, and he's a 5'10 guy. And Scooter McRae, Rodney McRae, Jerry Eaves, that group at Louisville, they could not deal with Steve Reed. And that was really Gene Katie in his third season, one of his first really – it was his first – huge win in terms of a road victory. You know, wins over the top 10 don't come all that often, but Steve Reed, that was my memory of him. Also a game-winning shot in 85, I believe his senior year, of course, against Iowa and in the last second to beat the Hawkeyes and Greg Stokes and what was Payne's first name? Michael Payne.
Kenny Payne or Michael Payne.
Yeah, and they win that game. But Steve Reed, and he's always, if you watch the Bob Knight chair throwing, Steve Reed is forever in history because he's the one that's standing on that free throw line by himself and hit 3 out of 6. He still talks about how he thought Gene Katie was going to kill him when he came back to the bench because he couldn't make free throws in that or make as many as he would have want. But Steve Reed is great floor leader, great leader, lives now in Georgia, I believe, and worked for Shelly Trucking for a long time up here in the Lafayette area and did work with Larry Clisby for a number of years before Rob Blackman came out. But the story of the dad, his dad, Duncan Reed, a good friend of Gene Cady's. And I don't know exactly how, I should know, but I don't remember how that relationship actually played. But I think he's from Rock Island, Illinois. And Duncan was a coach. And Duncan was a fiery dude. I mean, Steve Reed was too, but quite a quietly. And so the Purdue's playing the Russians, and this is the middle of the Cold War, 1982-83, was, I believe it was, and Reed, Kurt Clausen, of all people, sinks a 30-footer. Purdue in the 82-83 season had won a number of games by buzzer beaters, but Clausen hits one at the buzzer to beat the Russians, and Duncan Reed's dad, and I wish I had the picture with me, comes the families used to sit in the front row of Mackey across the bed, runs off and flips the bird to the is it Andre Gromyko was the head coach of the Russian team at the time. We have the picture, and I'll have to find it someday. But Duncan Reed, a great fiery guy, and Steve is a terrific player and a really good.
Alan, 12.3 points per game, 4.7 assists, pretty good.
Yeah, and again, just a function of a guy that not able to make an All Big Ten, but deserving certainly of consideration all the way through. All right, I got to pick an inside guy. This is going to be for old time Purdue fans. They're going to say, I don't know here, but I'm going to pick because I'm going to believe that if I was the coach, I could coach him up, okay, and keep him disciplined, et cetera. William Franklin would be my pick, and here's a guy, and I didn't think about William. William came to Purdue at a time when Purdue was getting a lot of African-American athletes from Virginia, Leroy Keyes, John Bullock in football. William Franklin was, and again, a lot of the African-American players at that time couldn't go to ACC schools. So William Franklin comes to Purdue, very highly regarded. He was the first big dog. He was infamous for his statement against Bob Lanier in the 1969 game Bob Lanier from St. Bonaventure was the big cat. He said, I'm told the New York media a mistake. He said, I'm the big dog. I'm going to chase the big cat. And Bob Lanier goes for 50 on him. but William Franklin had 26 double doubles at Purdue and an amazing guy. He had problems with traveling from time to time, but he was a physical specimen. Played in the ABA with the Virginia Squires and I believe the San Antonio Spurs, lives down in San Antonio or in the Texas area. I know that, but he was a 6'8" physical brute and he would have been, he was a very talented guy that kind of just came into his own late in his career, but pretty highly regarded, at least highly regarded enough to get a chance to play in the ABA.
Yeah. Good choice there, Alan. I'm going to go with my fourth pick. Just to recap, I've got Doug Lee forward, Drake Morris forward, and Steve Reed guard. I'm going to put old Matt Waddell in my backcourt with Steve Reed. Matt, of course.
Taking my guys. Gosh.
Of course.
Go ahead.
His senior year was 94-95. Let me double check. Yeah,
95 was his senior year.
Yep. Year. Got to Purdue in the fall in 91. Alan, he was a steady Eddie. I'm sure every fan remembers watching Matt Waddell, probably the number three scoring option on that big dog team in 93-94 behind Robinson and Konzo Martin. Waddell averaged 9.2 points for his Purdue career, 3.6 assists. And again, just a guy that was, just like I said, a steady Eddie, could knock down a three-pointer, wasn't the quickest guy in the world, but was a guy who could hit the open shot. And let's be honest, Alan, there were a lot of opportunities when you had Konzo Martin and Glenn Robinson on your team. And that year as a junior, 93-94, Matt averaged a career-high 11.3 points, helping Purdue reach the Elite Eight where it lost to Duke. And, you know, we've talked about Matt before and admired him, and you've got an appreciation for it even more than me. Him being a pharmacy major, and your daughter, of course, is a pharmacy major, knowing the rigors of that degree, the academic, mustard it takes to tackle that coursework and to do it on top of being a not just a Big Ten athlete, but a very good Big Ten athlete playing a big time sport. That was Matt Waddell. And a guy I had a lot of fun watching. And I always felt really confident anytime he had the ball in his hands and was ready to put up a shot. was a big part of some really fun Purdue teams that won a lot of ball games down there in the early mid 90s.
Yeah, a really good player. Played for Larry Angle at Tipton High School, I believe it was, and and really a cerebral guy, but a guy that developed, you know, and that senior season, both Konzo Martin and Matt Waddell came into that season with AC with injuries, and I think Matt Waddell had actually one of the fastest recoveries in the. And it was really before its time. He had an ACL injury in August. Played that first game, had to work through his senior year with an ACL, leads Purdue back to a second Big Ten championship in a row. He was a big player with the big dog, consummate team player, has done very well for himself, Eli Lilly. And I'm starting to look at my team, Tom, and wondering, like, what is my problem here? Because I don't know if I have enough scores. I like your pick because you've got some shooters there. I've got Billy Keller, I suppose, but I have to go with another garbage guy. I don't mean to call him that, but George Faber, also on the 1969 team. Again, I'm dating myself, but he shot, I think, a career 61% from the field. Now, he had a lot of inside shots, but he set the screens for Rick Mount. He got the rebounds. He started the fast break a lot. Purdue had a lot of great fast breaking basketball under George King on that team, led the nation in scoring. George Faber ended up being a Purdue assistant coach and has done very well, obviously, in business with B Window. But he is definitely deserving of his of this list. He had, I think, an 11 for 12 game against Michigan State shooting. He set his, or 12 for 13 field goal percentage. And just at 6'5", could really, and I know the game was different, but he was an ultimate team player and may not have been the world's greatest shooter, though he could make shots. George Faber, I have to put on my list. And that, and I was his paper boy, but growing up in West Lafayette, so I had to put him, but he definitely deserves it from that standpoint.
Nice choice. All right, I'm going to go to another wing player. Play alongside Doug Lee and Drake Morris on my squad, Alan. I'm going to go with Wayne Walls.
Ah, good one there.
Jeffersonville, Indiana, 6'6", 190. You got to Purdue, I believe, Alan, in the fall of 1974 with,
right,
I believe, Walter Jordan and Eugene, right, Parker. How about that? Pretty good trio, huh?
Right. The Soul Patrol, Michael White, too, with that group. And that, I don't know if that's politically incorrect, but that's what they were called. Yeah. And of course, Dick Satterfield was the lone Caucasian on that team. But Dick, a great player, a great walk on that ended up really played well with that team. But go ahead. I don't mean to.
Yeah, interrupt. That was, you know, there. I talked to Walter a couple of weeks ago. I know you know Walter very well.
Yeah.
And still has a great bond with all those guys. Of course, saddened with Eugene Parker's passing a few years ago. But boy, Wayne was a special player. He was a 1,000-point scorer while at Purdue, averaged 9.4 points. And, you know, Alan, you can maybe speak to this too. There was a lot of talent on Purdue's teams during those eras.
Yep.
And just never really clicked for the Boilermakers under Fred Shouse. Walter Jordan even expressed that to me. There was some regret, some disappointment.
Yep.
They didn't win more. They got to, I think, one NCAA tournament. A game we've talked about in the 1977 when they played North Carolina in North Carolina and lost, right, to Phil Ford and Michael Coyne and those guys. But again, Wayne Walls, I remember too being a kid and just being enamored with him and Walter Jordan. And they do the player introductions, Alan, and the cheerleaders had that gold Purdue carpet, that runner. They roll out
yeah,
the bench to center court and they line that carpet and they'd introduce the players. They'd run down that carpet. And I'll never forget, too, Alan, watching warm-ups, and they had that, I think, black and gold basketball. They would get in the line and tip it off the backboard one after the other. One guy would end it by grabbing the ball and dunking it through, and I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
Well,
Wayne Walls was on those teams. A lot of fun watching those guys, Alan.
Wayne Walls was a guy that, as a freshman, think about this, Tom. I think it was their first game as a freshman against Michigan State. Walter Jordan, a true freshman, also had worked their way into the starting lineup by that time. I think by that year, Purdue started three freshmen, and Eugene Parker and Wayne Walls and Walter Jordan. Parker may have been the last of the three, as I recall, to make the lineup. But they scored in the first game in the Big Ten. 28 points for Jordan, 24 points for Wayne Walls. I believe that's correct. They divided 52 points, and Walls was a great rebounder and shot blocker. His career didn't take off toward the end as much, and we talked, Walter Jordan talked about that 78 season, but they just didn't quite get over the hump. They were ranked in the top 12 to start the season and didn't make the NCAA tournament. However, in fairness to Fred Schaus, Fred Schaus in today's NCAA world would have made the NCAA probably every year but the last one, because his teams finished third every season with the exception of the 78 season. Purdue would have been an NCAA tournament team. Some really good players we've talked about. Fred Schaus recruited good players with Kyle Macy and Jerry Seasting, Bruce Parkinson, which was recruited kind of from George King, and Bob King was a great and a Hall of Fame level player also. None of those guys can qualify for our list because they all were first through third Big Ten team, all Big Ten teams. So you've now, that's your fifth pick, correct?
Yeah, my fifth pick.
All right. Now, I'm void of great scores, so I think I'm going to. My team will beat you 20-19, and we'll win the fight after the game. I'm convinced of that. I'm really torn between my last pick, so I'm going to wishy-washy this. I'm going to pick Mark Atkinson, because I'm going to say Mark, even though it's 6'7", a Browns transfer from a junior college in Alabama, from Brownsburg, Indiana, that came to Purdue and played under Gene Cady. Did a great job of stopping Steve Alford and produced two wins, won both games down in Bloomington. He was a very good defender, very good scorer, came in and made a big difference for Purdue right away. But I was really toyed between him and Jerry Nichols, similar types of players, Jerry from Greenwood, Indiana. I'm only going to pick Atkinson, and this is because I think Atkinson, I could swing him a little bit back into the backcourt a little bit, may have been a little bit better outside shooter, different game certainly, but Jerry Nichols a terrific player, but I'm going to take Mark Atkinson from my group, and I think that's that'll give me enough offensive punch to move from there. Now I want you, Tom, to go some guys that also consider that you put on your consideration list that you didn't pick.
Yeah, I had Mark on my list too, Alan. Excellent choice there. Some other guys I had under consideration that certainly could have made either our teams, I would think. Tom Scheffler.
Yep.
Or Steve Scheffler's older brother.
And Tom played the NBA for a year and played a lot, long time overseas.
Yeah. Mac Gattis.
Yeah.
Who we spoke with last week. Craig Riley. Mm-hmm. One of those rare engineering majors who played basketball. Fort Wayne, Indiana, I believe, Alan. Somebody from your era as a student, Mike Scarce, Scooby.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo. Washington, Kentucky. Don't make him like Scooby. and he could light it up from time to time. He was on my list as well.
Ryan Burning, 6'9", finny-thin shooter from Lafayette. Jeff played on those Troy Lewis, Todd Mitchell, Everett Steven teams, and then a couple years beyond those two. But a guy who, again – boy, a tall, rangy shooter who could knock down the three or just any perimeter jumper for that matter. Justin Jennings, the high-flying dunker from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Kirk Clawson, terrific shooter, was another guy I had on my list as well. So those were sort of the name. Brian Walker, your buddy.
Right. And Brian, a lot of listeners and get mad at us because Brian
– he's on my list.
Yeah, Brian was a terrific player. Again, he got a team to the Final Four, and he's second all-time, I believe, on Purdue assists. But Brian definitely deserves consideration. He was on my short list as well. But I had to go for a little bit more size. Anybody else on your list? I was trying to think of a couple other guys that you didn't mention that I would have thrown out there also. They were on my short list. Roger Blaylock, who the late Roger Blaylock, who died suddenly a few years ago of a heart attack, but a great, not only a great person, but a great player, junior college player, kind of pre-Arnett Hallman, a great physical specimen, Chicago Farragut High School, played junior college in Iowa, came in. He had 7 double-doubles. His career ended at Purdue in a fight, believe it or not, that he was kind of in the back end of a fight that they were trying to protect Rick Mount down in Butler in 1967. And Blaylock broke his tibia falling over trying to – I don't know what the whole circumstances was, but Roger's career ended early. And another one, Tyrone Bedford, number 13, the first number 13 before the big dog Glenn Robinson, Tyrone also very limited offensively, but he was a could run the fast break from Louisville High School, recruited by Bob Holloway, among others, could really run, again, lead Purdue on that fast break, had a number of 10 double-doubles in his career. He was challenged offensively. Apparently, I like the defensive guys, but Tyrone Bedford's another one that absolutely deserves consideration on our list. So our pre-1995 guy, next week we'll do the part two of this. Boy, that's going to be tough. There's a lot of guys out there that you could pick. And I you have to also say one other guy that only because you were making fun of me, though, a guy I know and like very much, Mike Steele, Dick Satterfield. Dick, we already mentioned him as a walk-on. Mike Steele had some big moments in the NIT. Gerald Thomas, another guy that also was a very, very good player in the 70s. And Mike is a basketball guru, but a guy that probably not quite deserving of our list, but a good player as it is and as it was. So anything else you want to add to the fray before we sign off, Tom?
No, like you said, amazing. I mean, it just shows you that there's a lot of terrific basketball players out there. And no disrespect not to even be first, second, or third team all Big Ten when you're playing in a conference like the Big Ten. And again, Alan, it strikes me the depth to which the talent has run at Purdue over the years. You know, a lot of really good basketball players who sometimes don't get their just due. And I'm like you, sometimes I'm too guilty or I'm guilty of looking over my shoulder at what's been. But, you know, the past can't change. It's comforting to know that, right?
Yeah, right.
It's fun to relive those memories and hear these names and talk about these guys again. I think they probably enjoy it. And I know I certainly enjoy it. And, again, I've got so many good memories from growing up, going to Mac Arena on cold winters, Saturday afternoons to watch games. And a lot of these guys are part of that.
All right. Yeah. Great stuff. And a lot of fun to relive those memories. And we'll probably create a little bit of conversation with some of our picks. All right. I want to thank our sponsors, Hilton Garden Inn sponsors our live stream. I get my brain on autopilot sometimes, but we also want to thank Follett and Alan Steele and the group there. Also, Purdue Federal Credit Union, First Source Bank, East End Grill, 6th Street Dive, both doing carryout. 6th Street Dive is open for business as well in West Lafayette as we kind of work on our opening here. Home Field Apparel, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, and Purdue Federal Credit Union, people all that have been good to us over the years. And also Arnie's, Bruno's in West Lafayette and Lafayette that are still doing carryout. Arnie's also in Indianapolis, Smee's Place in Indianapolis doing carryout. They've been great to us over the years. And Triple X, Kerry and Greg Ayersman have started their curbside. So I know you may be coming to town, a little family business here, and you'll have a chance to – you can stop by the Triple X and have a little lunch. Perfect. Maybe you and I ought to do that. And Kerry and Greg Ayersman have opened that back up for curbside service and in their first week of doing that. So – thanks to everyone for listening. And Tom, we'll look forward to doing this again next week as we'll look at our 1995 to 2020 all unsung teams. And I think that's going to be a bloodbath. We may have between who we pick because there's a lot of guys in there. I think I had a list of 27 guys that I would consider all told for that. And I have a problem making decisions sometimes, but we're going to have to do that here in the next week. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening and watching. And we'll look forward to more of our Saturday chat next week.